This is Jay Sekulow breaking news. The president declassifies the Nunes memo. The release imminent.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The four-page memo has been declassified. A letter was sent this morning from the White House. Based on new information and intelligence we've gathered here at Fox, we can report the memo states that a high-ranking law enforcement official told the House Intelligence Committee in a closed-door session that the Bureau would not have obtained a surveillance warrant for Trump campaign aide without the controversial dossier funded by the DNC and Clinton campaign.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We also understand the memo states the FBI and Justice Department, in their application to the highly secret surveillance court known as the FISA court, used media reporting to lend credibility to the dossier that was compiled by the opposition research firm Fusion GPS.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, happy Friday, and I can tell you, it's going to be a buckle your seatbelt Friday. So excerpts of the House intelligence memo are being released. The memo should be released probably by the House in the next couple of hours, or it could even be sooner. The President of the United States, President Trump, declassified the memo yesterday or this morning pursuant to the rules and regulations set forth by the House. We've talked about those rules previously, so that has taken place. It then is transmitted back to the House of Representatives, and they will determine how it is put forward in the public sphere. That's happening right now.
They are releasing excerpts right now. Here are some that are, again, getting the most attention. So this is directly from the memo. The excerpts are being released as we speak. First, Andrew McCabe confirmed during the House Intelligence Committee investigation that no FISA warrants against any Trump officials would have been sought from the FISA court without the use of the Steele dossier information. Let me include to you why it's important how he said Steele dossier information. Because, quote, the political origins of the Steele dossier were known to senior DOJ and FBI officials, but excluded from the FISA applications. That means the judges had no idea this was opposition research paid for by Hillary Clinton.
Correct. So what you've got is a situation why the FBI has been so aggressive in trying to not have this out. Their method upon which you gain or access to a FISA warrant is there are affidavits filled out, there's information that's submitted to the FISA judge, and then the FISA warrant is either issued or it's not. Here you have Andrew McCabe, according to the testimony, confirmed that no FISA warrant would have been sought from the FISA court without the Steele dossier information. Circle information, because the political origins, as Jordan just said, of the Steele dossier, although known to senior DOJ and FBI officials that it was opposition research funded in part by Fusion GPS through Hillary Clinton's campaign and all of that, it was excluded from the FISA application. So when you actually see the FISA application, that's going to tell the judge what basis upon which he should either grant or not grant the access to the information or to grant the warrant. Here, they didn't disclose that, and they got a warrant. You understand? A warrant on an American citizen. So this is the depth and scope. I mean, the left of center can try to discredit this, but the fact that the FISA warrant itself or the FISA application did not disclose that to a federal judge, a FISA judge, is breathtaking in scope. Breathtaking in scope.
Yes, I mean, I right now I just want people to understand this means that the Department of Justice lawyers working with the FBI agents took a opposition research memo that they had met with Bruce Orr and those people. And Bruce Orr was told, this is also in the memo, when he met with Chris Steele told Bruce Orr how anti-Trump he was, how he did not want to see Trump become president of the United States. So Bruce Orr knew this was also biased. And then we also know it was opposition research because of who was paying for it. The ultimate final financiers to finish this dossier were the Clinton campaign and the Democrat Party. And that was excluded. That was left out of the information provided to the FISA judge. We also have Andrew McCabe on record now that there would be no FISA warrant sought from the court without the dossier information. So they did not have enough info outside of the dossier to get a warrant.
All right, we'll be right back in 15 seconds. If you're watching online, we're not going anywhere, so don't worry. We don't take any commercial breaks online. If you want your voice heard about this, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in if you're watching on Facebook, Periscope, or on Twitter. Get your comments in now. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Here's what's happened. The President of the United States declassified the Nunes memo and sent it back to the House of Representatives pursuant to the rules of the House. That committee, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, will now determine when they're going to release it. Excerpts are already being released. We expect that the entire document is going to be released. In fact, we'll go up to Washington right now. I was there yesterday. I got back to our media studio late last night. But Dan, what are we hearing on the – I'm hearing the release is imminent, like any minute.
Yeah, my team's upstairs actually refreshing right now, looking to get a first look at the document. But Jay, I'm literally talking with people on the Hill right now over email, and their reaction is pretty universally one line. We talked about it in the break, but I want people to hear this. If this is correct, what happened is the FBI spied on American citizens using information that they knew to be fraudulent. I'm going to say that again so people don't miss it. The FBI spied on American citizens using information that they knew to be fraudulent. And Jay, the way they had that information is the number four at the FBI, Bruce Orr, continued to have secret meetings with Christopher Steele after they knew it was fraudulent.
Let me say something. I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. And I know it's in some circles it's controversial, but I'm going to say it because I think it's important. The nature and scope of this, Jeff Sessions or Rod Rosenstein, one of them, who needs to appoint a special counsel to figure all this out, because this is an institutional situation within the FBI that I don't know if it's capable of self-correcting. We had the same exact situation with the Internal Revenue Service when we went after what they were doing targeting conservatives. Now they're doing this with FISA. This is another branch of government. The one branch that's maybe more powerful than the Department of the Treasury, the IRS, the Department of Justice. As these reports are coming out, the Steele dossier formed an essential part of the initial and all three renewals of the FISA application against Carter Page, an American citizen. McCabe confirmed that no FISA warrants would have been sought from the FISA court without Steele's dossier information. And the political origins of the Steele dossier, although known to senior DOJ and FBI officials, were excluded from the FISA applications. That is not just malfeasance. You're doing that to a court. And lawyers are officers of that court, and we take an oath as officers of that court. So what needs to happen here is a special counsel needs to be appointed to find out what has taken place here. We're expecting the report from the Inspector General any day, but I don't know if it's going to go into the details of this in any great details. I mean, we'll see. But if this is a systemic and systematic problem, we've got a real issue here. This is affecting American citizens. And you're talking about engaging in the political process. I mean, do I need to see much more? I don't think so. All right, we want to take some calls or comments?
Have the comment from the President of the United States. Here you go.
You want to know the truth? I think it's a disgrace. What's going on in this country, I think it's a disgrace. The memo was sent to Congress. It was declassified. Congress will do whatever they're going to do. But I think it's a disgrace what's happening in our country. And when you look at that, and you see that and so many other things, what's going on. A lot of people should be ashamed of themselves and much worse than that. So I sent it over to Congress. They will do what they're going to do. Whatever they do is fine. It was declassified. And let's see what happens.
They need to release the memo. They are. We're going to find out what happened here. I don't know if the underlying documents can be released because of the nature of the redactions and sources and methods. Maybe they will be able to come up with a system to do that. I'm not sure. But I will tell you this. I want to focus on this. You know why? You want to know why Andrew McCabe is not the number two at the FBI anymore? There you go. You want to know why the former chief of staff is gone and the general counsel is gone? This could be the reasons. And who is the director of the FBI during this period of time? James Comey. They got a lot of explaining to do. And Congress and the Department of Justice need to appoint a special counsel to evaluate this situation. The utilization of FISA warrants and FISA applications in a process that was tainted from the start. That's what this looks like to us. All right, we're taking your calls and comments at 800-684-3110.
It's so important to point out that the only time an American is supposed to be included under a FISA warrant is if there's enough evidence presented that that American is actually working as a foreign agent, a.k.a. a spy, for another government, and so that they could be surveilled in a way that other Americans, it would be unconstitutional to do so. So you're treating them as a spy, someone who's almost given up their Americanness, or at least suspected of being a spy. And that's what they utilized here using Oppo research. And by the way, once you hook one of people in like this, you're getting all of their phone calls and all of their communications.
Oh, yeah. No.
This all you needed is Carter Page to get mass data gathering on the entire Trump apparatus.
But then one thing, you know, you and I talked about this yesterday in our office in Washington. The fact of the matter is, though, this was during a political season. So they took opposition research on the Republican presumptive nominee for a president of the United States, turned it into a FISA application, and didn't tell the FISA court that this what this was.
And it's worse than that, Jay. They didn't get duped. They didn't get tricked.
No.
They knew it was fraudulent. That's what the testimony here is. They knew it was fraudulent. They went to a court. They lied to the court. And they got a warrant that circumvents an American citizen's constitutional rights, like Jordan just pointed out. And you're absolutely right that people have started leaving the Bureau over it, Jay. But what about Bruce Orr? What about Peter Strzok? What about anybody else who is involved in this process that is still at the Bureau? They need to be gone. The president's right. They should be ashamed, but they have to be held accountable as well.
Be more than ashamed. Here's the thing. I understand what the president was being reserved in that sense. I will tell you this. I do think, and I know there will be people, you know, why would you have a special counsel for this? Here's why. Do you remember during the IRS litigation, I kept saying the institution was incapable of self-correcting and ended up taking court orders and a monetary judgment to do it? This is beyond that. This is utilizing the criminal justice system, FISA warrants, our counterintelligence systems, to spy on Americans who happen to be affiliated in whatever capacity it was with the opposing party's campaign, and the FBI director and his senior officials got a FISA warrant from a court without disclosing that it was based on the dossier. Without disclosing and confirmed, and McCabe confirmed that without the dossier, they would not have gotten the FISA warrant. And it was renewed, what was it, three times? So this is really serious. You think there's a need for a special counsel? This would be one, in my view, and probably the view of a lot of people. So I think we've got to look at this as the impact it has on our justice system, our counterintelligence capabilities. And, you know, the president was getting a lot of criticism because he didn't release it in a day. And I will tell you this, the White House followed a process of review, thorough review. And that's why it took, you know, 3 or 4 days to get it to the point where they were comfortable having the president authorize the declassification. So the other side can spin this any way they want. But I want the answer to that question. Give me the answer to that question, because I don't see that answer. All right, let's take a call or comment, Logan.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's get a call on. Let's go to Glenn. On line two. Glenn, you're on the air.
Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Jay. I'd like to know simply, do we expect the document to be released to the public as someone reading it into the congressional record and then we get it, or as a PDF from a website?
Yeah, well, good question. Than, what are you hearing is so everybody understands, it is not the White House that releases it. The White House authorizes it, but it goes back to the committee. Fan?
Yeah, and I think the answer is going to be both, Jay. I literally was having that conversation with someone on the Hill right now. I think it will be read into the congressional record probably sometime this night when they gavel into a pro forma session. But I think the PDF is also going to be posted on the House Intelligence Committee's website. I don't have absolute confirmation of that, but I have multiple sources saying that they expect it to be posted both ways, the committee's website and into the congressional record.
Let me tell you this. We'll see the scope and nature of the full four-page memo. But if that's the only takeaways out of this, if that was just it we've just covered, that is monumentally significant in what we're dealing with here. I mean, this is an abuse of process that I'm trying to think when we've had something like this. I mean, they got the courts involved in this. That's what, you know, Jordan, that's what's so interesting here.
Oh, yeah.
They got the court. They got a FISA court. That's a federal judge to get. I mean, I'm not blaming casting any dispersion on him. He didn't know. According to the reports,
yeah,
the origins of the dossier were known to the DOJ and FBI officials, but excluded right from the application. In other words, in the FISA applications, they didn't put this.
This is what we were worried about the entire time, is that they took the dossier. Remember, they were denied the first couple of times they wanted these FISA warrants, so they were using other information. Then they got this dossier. Bruce Orr's working with it. They're told by Christopher Steele that I'm an anti-Trump guy. You know, we're getting funding from the Clinton team. We're getting funding from Democrats to take down Trump. And what they do is they take the info in the dossier and they take off the Fusion GPS and they put the FBI stamp and DOJ stamp on it, submit that as evidence like they gathered it, and that's what they submitted to a judge. Would attorneys like that, Dad, they probably could be subject to some serious violations and ethical issues as well.
You know, an incomplete or fraudulent affidavit to a federal court.
And especially one like this.
And this is the FISA court, which is, you know, a whole different process anyways. I mean, I just can't imagine why would they be? What I'm trying to figure out. Why were they so reckless? And then you tie the Peter Strzok, Lisa Page text messaging together, tie that in with all this, and you know why. This was their insurance policy. Okay? This was their insurance policy, except now it's coming out. So here's the real question. The real question here is, was the FISA system abused? The answer to that is yes. Do we need a FISA system? I think the answer to that is still yes.
Yeah.
We still need it. But it can't be abused by the federal government. All right, we're going to take more calls and comments when we come back from the
1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are jammed, but they'll open up. 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in, again, on social media. A lot of people have a lot of questions. We're going to take some of those during the break. But once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also join us if you want to see us, not just hear us. If you're listening on the radio, you can find us broadcasting live right now, facebook.com/JSekulow, Periscope, and Twitter @JSekulow.
Let me also say thank you to our ACLJ members. January was a great month for the ACLJ. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. You can do that at ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more, including your comments. We come back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Got breaking news again, and that is the memo is now released. So I'm holding my hands for our TV audience. A letter from the White House that authorizes the declassification assigned by the counsel to the president, Don McGahn. So Don McGahn, as the White House counsel, I told you this went through a review process because that's what's required. So when it went over to the White House, it wasn't immediately released because the White House did their job. And Don McGahn did his job as White House counsel through a process working with his team to make sure that this met all of the necessary source and methods analysis that's not in there. There was nothing being disclosed that would be harmful to America's intelligence capabilities. Having said that, we now have the memo. The memo is now deemed unclassified. In fact, I'm holding it up. Do we have shots of this for our audience? We're getting it, but let me, if you could, I don't know if you could see it, but it says unclassified. So this has now been deemed unclassified. I think the first big takeaway is that the FBI and DOJ obtained one initial FISA warrant targeting Carter Page and three FISA renewals from the FISA Intelligence Court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. As required by the statute, a FISA order on an American citizen must be renewed by the FISA court every 90 days, and each renewal requires separate findings of probable cause. Then-Director James Comey signed the three FISA applications in question on behalf of the FBI, and Deputy Attorney General McCabe signed one. Then-Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, then-Acting DAG, and then also Rod Rosenstein, each signed one or more FISA applications on behalf of DOJ. So no wonder James Comey did not want this released. No wonder the FBI did not want this released. So that's just the first takeaway on this. What are you picking up, Jordan?
Rod Rosenstein also renewed this. So he's in there as well. Sally Yates, who is a major critic of the president. The people who basically led to the start of the special counsel being appointed were the ones doing this wrongdoing.
Yeah.
And some of them are still in our government or just left. I mean, I think, what is it? McCabe is on leave, but he's still technically getting paid by us, so he gets his,
he's removed,
his
though.
Benefit. He's gone. But Rod Rosenstein is still the Deputy Attorney General of the United States and the Attorney General in charge of the Russia investigation, and he signed on to the extension of this. Yep. Did he have – the question is, was he just signing a document, or did he have the information? Did he know that the dossier info was withheld from the court in the initial FISA filing?
The memo seems to indicate. Look, here's the thing. You know, people are going to try to twist the memo this way, but there's underlying documents on all this. Now, whether those will be declassified or not, or can be redacted enough to be declassified, I don't know. I haven't seen them. But the dossier, and we're looking at this, the findings indicate that material and relevant information was admitted. First, the dossier compiled by Chris Steele on behalf of the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign formed an essential part of the Carter Page FISA application. We know about that the fact that Steele was a longtime FBI source who was paid over $160,000 by the DNC and the Clinton campaign via the law firm of Perkins Coe and research firm Fusion GPS to obtain the information about the president. Now, I also know, by the way, that Bruce Orr's wife was working for them, Fusion GPS. Neither the initial application in October of 2016 nor any of the renewals disclose or reference the role of the DNC, the Clinton campaign, or any party campaign in funding Steele's efforts, even though the political origins of the Steele dossier were then known to senior DOJ and FBI officials. What that means is they when they filed the FISA application, they didn't say, hey, by the way, this information came from opposition research, from a foreign source. You know, you look at this whole, you know, the whole this whole Russia probe that we're engaged in, and then you see this stuff, and this is where you need a special counsel. What was the FBI thinking? And that's what I want to know. What were they thinking? That they would not disclose to the FISA court where this came from and who's, and then Comey signing off on this? I mean, you know, they come up with, you know, James Comey can tweet all the nice tweets he wants to put out. You know, what was his last one? The one before this was "Let justice roll like down like a river." Okay, well, it is. Then it says neither the initial application nor any renewals disclose a reference to the DNC funding. Then the initial FISA application notes Steele was working for a named U.S. person but does not name Fusion GPS and Glenn Simpson, who was paid by a U.S. law firm representing the DNC. The application does not mention Steele was ultimately working on behalf of and paid by the DNC Clinton campaign or that the FBI had separately authorized payment to Steele for the same information. I mean, do you understand what's in this? I mean, the nature and scope of this, we're just, what is the reaction? First of all, I want to get Logan, you get some reaction from our folks on social media. Than, what is the reaction? I mean, your phone must be ringing. I mean, you're holding it in your hand. Yeah. What is the reaction going on right now?
Well, it's blown up, but in addition to everything that you just said, Jay, I want to read you a couple of lines from this. Michael Steele was suspended and then terminated as an FBI source for what the FBI defines as the most serious of violations, an unauthorized disclosure of to the media of his relationship with the FBI. And then you scroll down a little bit, Jay, and it says, before and after he was terminated as a source, he maintained contact with the DOJ through then Associate DAG Bruce Orr, and goes down the line, and also worked with Deputy Attorneys General Yates and Rosenstein. And Jay, one of the reasons he was fired, this is a quote from Steele, was that he was desperate that Donald Trump not get elected and was passionate about him not being president. They used him as a source to spy on an American citizen.
Go ahead, Jordan. I mean, I'm reading this right now, folks. This is
Christopher
unreal.
Steele, I mean, he's making money from the FBI too, not just $160,000 he got paid from our taxpayer dollars.
But then you see, Steele was suspended and terminated as an FBI source for what the FBI defines as the most serious of violations, an unauthorized disclosure to the media of his relationship with the FBI in an October 30th, 2016 Mother Jones article. Now, I mean, I got a question for the Federal Bureau of Investigation leadership. And these FBI agents do a great job across the board protecting us every day. I don't doubt that at all. But what was going on here? By the way, this isn't deep state. My goodness, this is right at the top of the state. So I know, I don't understand this paragraph on why in the world the FBI thought this was okay, that the Carter Page FISA application cited extensively from a September 23rd, 2016, you ready for this? Yahoo News article by Michael Isikoff, focusing on Page's July 2016 trip to Moscow. The article does not corroborate the Steele dossier because it is derived from information leaked by Steele himself to Yahoo News.
So Steele gave the info to Michael Isikoff to corroborate his own dossier.
Yes. And say that again, because everybody needs to understand
Michael
that.
Steele gave the info to Michael Isikoff at Yahoo News. So this was not a corroboration of what the dossier said. It was just the guy who wrote the dossier giving more info to Yahoo News so that another news outlet would say, oh, look, we've corroborated this, and the FBI then submitted that, a Yahoo News article, as part of evidence that this dossier, which still they didn't tell the judge who funded it and where it came from, but then it was verified. But then I read further down. When they first filed this FISA with the dossier, they said that the corroboration, trying to corroborate any of it at the FBI, was, quote, in its infancy. By the second time around, it was minimally corroborated. And then January 2017, Director Comey said, quote, in congressional testimony, that it was completely salacious and
unverified. Do we have the Comey bite on that? Can we find that, please? I want to find that bite.
So, I mean, the FBI is admitting in this they could never verify it. They were at the minimal stages that they were using it in court filings as evidence to surveil an American citizen.
I mean,
this is Watergate-esque.
Worse.
I mean, it's different in
because
the sense
they misled a court.
I mean, secret court that we already, it's tough to get info from.
Yeah. I mean, I support the FISA application process. Yeah. I support the FISA court. I think we need it for counterintelligence. But you don't mislead a court. You don't do this. All right, we're here for 30 more minutes at least, and maybe more. Logan, tell everybody what they can do to stay with us, because we're going to keep this live.
That's right. If you don't get us on your local station for the full half hour, a lot of you do, and you want to make sure you're still listening as we're breaking down the memo that was just released. And if you're watching on social media, share this with your friends. We broke this news before anyone, and we had it before anyone. That's not an over-exaggeration. You can find us on ACLJ.org, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, or go to the Facebook page of Jay Sekulow Broadcasting Live there right now. Continue on.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
podcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. So here's what we've got. The memo is now released. And that memo is breathtaking in scope. It is what I expected, which is that the FISA applications were based on, significantly, it appears, on the Steele dossier, that the FISA court, and this is, again, you don't do this, was not told of the origins of that dossier. It was not disclosed to the court that it was political opposition research, and it was signed off by Andrew McCabe, James Comey, and Rod Rosenstein. So this raises a whole host of issues. So you want to know why everybody was so, the FBI was so concerned about this getting out? This is the reason. Because this FISA court is a special court to begin with. You have to understand that. It's a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act procedure, and it's a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. But this was a U.S. citizen. Before and after Steele was terminated as a source, this is in the memo, he maintained contact with the DOJ via then Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr, a senior DOJ official who worked closely with Yates and Rosenstein. Now, remember this. I'm putting the dots together, the lines in the dots here. Remember, Bruce Orr's wife, worked for Fusion GPS as a Russia expert on the Steele dossier. Shortly after the election, the FBI began interviewing Orr, documenting his communications with Steele. For example, in September of 2016, Steele admitted to Orr that his feelings against then-candidate Donald Trump, where he was desperate that Donald Trump not get elected and was passionate about him not being president. This clear evidence of Steele's bias was recorded by Orr at the time and subsequently in official FBI files, but not reflected in any of the page FISA applications. And they're talking about Carter Page there. Jordan, what are you finding?
I'm looking through this, and what is most shocking, again, it goes to the point that, one, that the dossier formed the essential part of the initial and all three renewals of the FISA applications. That means when Rod Rosenstein, the deputy AG, filed the renewal, the basis of that was the dossier, so he knew about that. So that question is answered there. And I would imagine that Rod Rosenstein had read the news and at that point known that the dossier was who it was paid for.
You know, what did they do? Well,
do you realize that?
Yeah, of course.
By round two or three of this, these guys knew, even people who may not have been involved in the first filing, knew that this was coming from information paid for by Hillary Clinton and Democrat. It was partisan info, and yet Rod Rosenstein signed off on it. Again, along with Jim Comey
and
Andrew McCabe.
But listen to this. This is in their own notes. According to the head of the FBI's Counterintelligence Division, Assistant Director Bill Priestnip, corroboration of the Steele dossier was, quote, in its infancy at the time of the initial page FISA application. So they haven't even verified, which they couldn't verify because none of it was true. They couldn't even verify it. After Steele was terminated, a source validation report conducted by an independent unit within the FBI assessed Steele's reporting as only, quote, minimally corroborated. They were getting FISA applications on the FISA warrants. Yet in early January of 2017, right before the president was sworn into office, Director Comey briefed President-elect Trump on a summary of the Steele dossier, even though it was, according to his own June 27 testimony, salacious and unverified. Do we have that bite? Here it is. James Comey.
Did you limit that statement to counterintelligence investigations, or were you talking about any kind of FBI investigation?
I didn't use the term counterintelligence. I was speaking to him and briefing him about some salacious and unverified material. It was in the context of that he had a strong and defensive reaction about that not being true. And my reading of it was important for me to assure him we were not personally investigating him.
No, but you saw, wait, James Comey needs to get hauled back in. But you signed affidavits or signed on to warrants or applications for warrants based on the dossier you told him that it wasn't even verified and that there was no investigation of him. I mean, you know, James Comey, you don't get to do it. You know, it's three ways here. It doesn't work that way. The answer is either like the Supreme Court in the United States. The answer is yes or no. I don't know is not a good answer. But his answer was, well, yeah, we had this, but then he signs a warrant based on documentation that he couldn't verify to a federal court? It's not the way it's supposed to work in America. Logan?
All right, we'll be back with more information on the released memo. And again, 1-800-684-3110. We do have an exclusive video coming up. We decide we want to run that in the break. Now we'll make the discussion going. We'll discuss that in just a moment here. But that is if you're watching online. If you're not watching online, log over to ACLJ.org, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter. Just search for Jay Sekulow. We're right there.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So our legal team is evaluating this. There's a couple of big takeaways. The dossier compiled by Christopher Steele on behalf of the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign formed an essential part of the Carter Page FISA application. There were leaks of this information that was engaged in by Christopher Steele that caused the FBI to no longer utilize him, although they still kept up communications and still got FISA renewals based on this false dossier. Deputy Director McCabe testified before the committee in December of 2017 that no surveillance warrant would have been sought from the FISA court without the Steele dossier information. And now I'm going to play you this bite of James Comey again. Because, folks, I like to give you the evidence. Here is coming out of James Comey's mouth. What's the date of this, Will? What's the date of this hearing?
July 8,
2017. Here's what he said.
Did you limit that statement to counterintelligence investigations, or were you talking about any kind of FBI investigation?
I didn't use the term counterintelligence. I was speaking to him and briefing him about some salacious and unverified material. It was in the context of that he had a strong and defensive reaction about that not being true, and my reading of it was important for me to assure him we were not personally investigating him.
Yeah, but you know what, though? By the way, which, of course, James Comey means he wasn't personally investigating the president. But here's what you got. This is the farce of this whole thing. They applied for the FISA warrants with all that conversation, by the way. They already applied for multiple renewals of the FISA warrant based on what? The dossier that he just said, I just want you to know we're not investigating you based on this. But they got Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court warrants based on this. So, I mean, you know, special counsel, independent of Bob Mueller, a special counsel needs to be established to investigate the FBI and the Department of Justice for what was going on here. I mean, because this is, I'm sorry, this is the reality. I said that, by the way, I think it was 2 months ago, because the whole Bruce Orr doing all that was, you know, inexplicable. But now when you're looking at these reports, I mean, it's an abuse of the, it's an important process too. You know, I supported the FISA courts. And some of my friends don't because of the civil liberties issues. I'm very sympathetic to that. But I also think we need good counterintelligence. But we don't. This is why you give the ammunition for the other side to not want FISA applications with this kind of nonsense going on. Jordan?
Yes, I think that when you look at all of this together, you realize, as Stan said, the FBI spied on an American citizen, and it could be citizens, using information they knew to be fraudulent, that they could not corroborate. They lied to the judge by withholding where they got the information. They never disclosed to the judge that one of the senior DOJ attorneys here's wife was working with Christopher Steele on the anti-Trump dossier. They didn't disclose that it was paid for by Hillary Clinton and the Democrats' attorneys and through their law firms. They didn't give that information to the judge. And by the way, they're required to. Under the FISA court rules, they are supposed to give any information that would lead to any positive information about the person that they are seeking this warrant on, since they are not being represented. They're supposed to provide that. So they should have noted there is that information that, hey, we are getting this from a partisan source. You should know this, judge. That was excluded entirely. And yet, who signs off on it? Jim Comey, Andrew McCabe, Rod Rosenstein, and they keep reaffirming it. They can never corroborate it. And ultimately, you have Jim Comey saying it was totally salacious and unverified.
Three times,
but
right?
But yet, it formed the essential basis, of the initial and all three renewals of the FISAs against Carter Page, Trump campaign associate.
Let's go up to our Washington office. Than, what's your reaction? What are you hearing?
Well, look, let's put together what you guys just talked about. What Director Comey should have told the president is we aren't using this information to investigate you, but guess what we are doing? We are using information from a source that we terminated for an egregious violation with information that we know to be false to investigate and spy on your team. He didn't tell the president that. And, Jay, one other thing that I will say, and I'm having conversations with some friends on this on the Hill. Republicans in the Senate who opposed this coming out and Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee who opposed this coming out should be ashamed of themselves today. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, this kind of stuff has to stop, and they have to be for pushing this information out into the public.
I want to see if my friends that are left of center, and I've got friends that are left of center, that are in favor of civil liberties, thinks this is okay. That they think this is okay. To get a FISA application and a FISA warrant, ultimately, three times, based on an unverified document and not telling the court that it's based on an unverified document and the affidavits that you filed, FBI and Department of Justice, with the court. Do you think that's okay? I like to debate that. Tell me how that is possibly okay. Let's grab a call.
All right, a lot of people on hold for a while, so let's go ahead and take some of these. Let's go to Ann in Atlanta on line three. You're on the air.
Hey, Ann.
Hi, Jay. Hey. Quick question. Yep. Just as a layperson, not familiar with the law,
yep.
What are the consequences? I mean, what could the charges be? Will anybody be charged in your guesses? And then finally, my question is this just going to be something that fizzles? Like everything else,
this is not fizzling because they did not give accurate information to a court. There's a whole host of issues you could have with that. I mean, there's a whole host of legal issues you can have with not giving the full disclosure to the court that the information you're basing the FISA application warrant on, the affidavit you signed, are based on political opposition research from a paid person that you already said was unverified and salacious. I mean, really? So no. I think this is not just fizzle. That's number one. Number two, I want to see the counter narrative because it'll be very interesting to see how they try to spin this. But I'd sure like to find out why these people thought this was okay to do this in the FBI and the Department of Justice. I'd like to know the answer to that question. Because if the answer to the question is, well, we thought there was something there, they're still called due process. And also not lying under oath to a federal judge, which when you sign an affidavit, you would be doing. If you put a false statement in there. So none of these statements, should we play that statement, Will? Does that make sense in this context? Here's another statement from the hearing with James Comey.
So the context then was actually narrower, focused on what I just talked to him about. That was very important because it was first true. And second, I was worried very much about being in kind of a J. Edgar Hoover type situation. I didn't want him thinking that I was briefing him on this. To sort of hang it over him in some way. I was briefing him on it because we had been told by the media it was about to launch. We don't want to be keeping that from him. And if there was some, he needed to know this was being said. But I was very keen not to leave him with an impression that the Bureau was trying to do something to him. And so that's the context in which I said, sir, we're not personally investigating you.
So when did this conversation, I'm asking our team, when did this conversation, Will, when did the conversation, is this the going back to the January conversation with the president? They had just gotten the FISA warrants 3 months before. I mean, do you understand? Does everybody understand that? They had just gotten the FISA warrants 3 months before. So, I mean, it doesn't work both ways here. I mean, it just doesn't. I mean, he's telling the president one thing. What's he telling the federal court? You bring him back to testify to that. Probably should take his Fifth Amendment privilege.
I'm very worried, too, about the names. I mean, we know Dana Bente is still now within the Department of Justice. Rod Rosenstein still there. Andrew McCabe just out. We knew what Sally Yates pulled. I mean, so what Jim Comey is still running his mouth as we speak, commenting on this. But there are still two of these people inside our government, and one is running the Russia probe, running it. That is Rod Rosenstein.
And Special counsel reports to Rod.
He signed off that there was probable cause to continue the surveillance, which means...
When was the last time they got the warrant? Do we know that from this? Yeah, we don't. But we know it was after January, right? Because the renewals were every 90 days. So the first one was October of 2016, and it was renewed two additional times. They renewed every 90 days. So we're into 2017, significantly. After James Comey spoke to the president about this dossier not being verifiable. And after Christopher Steele leaked it to the media. And then the FBI cuts off Christopher Steele, kind of, because they still are in communications. Let's grab another call if we can, Logan.
All right, yeah, let's definitely try. Let's go to Joseph in California on line 4.
Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hey, Jay. My question is, since the warrant was got under false pretenses or unverified evidence, any of the evidence gathered underneath that, is that submissible in court?
So you're talking about the fruit of the poisonous tree. So that's a court precedent that if the method upon which you gathered the evidence was illegal, that the evidence cannot be then used in a proceeding. I think that's one issue that's significant here, but I'll tell you the other issue that's significant, and that is these FBI agents and James Comey and all these others that authorized this. I mean, James Comey yesterday, didn't he send out that don't be bullied thing? Don't be bullied. You went to the president of the United States saying this dossier is nothing while you were getting FISA applications and warrants based on it. And you're then telling the president of the United States this is nothing? Yeah, the fruit of the poisonous tree affects this entire process, in my view. All right, I'm trying to grab calls, but, well, we got a minute left, Logan. What do you want to do here?
Yeah, I think we need to just go into the break. If you're watching online, we continue the show during the breaks. We'll try to take some comments, too. I know we haven't gotten to a ton of those, but obviously we've been breaking a lot of news. We do have just one line open right now because it's been crazy. 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll try to take as many calls as we can.
We're probably going to stay after a little bit more broadcasting.
Yeah, we'll possibly be staying longer. So if you want to make sure you get that, join us online.
All right, we'll be back with more, including your calls, as Logan said. Again, your support of the ACLJ in January was incredible. We appreciate it. Couldn't do it without you. ACLJ.org for that. Also, you need to look, the way to stay, we can't be on air 20 hours a day. But what we can do is you can communicate with us or get informed via Facebook, via all our other social media platforms, Logan. Let everybody know. I mean, we've got all of the Twitter feeds, social media platforms.
Yeah, we continue to update those all day at JSeculo, Jordan Seculo, ACLJ. Make sure you're following all those on Twitter. Make sure you're also staying connected with us on Facebook. And then again, you can give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll take more comments during the break. Share this with your friends. If you're watching online as we head into the last segment of the week, be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
the broadcast, everyone. All should appreciate the FBI speaking up, said James Comey just 17 hours ago. I wish more of our leaders would. But take heart. American history shows that in the long run, weasels and liars never hold the field so long as good people stand up. Not a lot of schools or streets named for Joe McCarthy. That's true. Not a lot are named for, nor they should they be. But let me tell you what you don't get to do. You don't get to meet with the President of the United States and say, I just want you to know this dossier is out there. We don't find it credible. But meanwhile, you just got FISA warrants on it.
Using your own name,
James Comey. Using your name. Signing off on it, James Comey. You want to put that in your Twitter feed? Explain that. And you give me more than 141 characters now. So Let's see if there's any responses on that. So no wonder the FBI didn't want this out.
The lobbying campaign that was put on by the Washington establishment, Republican and Democrat, this has the potential to take down, we've only had this for minutes, to take down the entire domestic intelligence agency and law enforcement prosecutorial divisions. How many cases, how many FISA reopenings could be reopened by the fact that courts are being submitted with information by the FBI and DOJ, and they're not providing the source of the information, or they are misleading and saying that the source comes from them. So they said that they got this from someone named Chris Steele, that he was working for someone. They left out that he was working for Hillary Clinton and the Democrat Party. They had all of that information and they left it out. They left it out because they knew if a judge saw that, no way they would have granted this FISA, even though FISA is pretty easy to get for the U.S. government, if they knew it was politically motivated info they were receiving.
All right.
And there was no other info for them to give.
Nope.
They had nothing else to give this judge to get the warrant. This was the essential part, in their own words.
Yes.
It was essential.
Well, McCabe said without it, he couldn't get it. They wouldn't get the warrant. So that kind of ends up whether this was incidental. Because I think the left's going to come back and say, it was incidental. They had other evidence. But then you got McCabe, who's the number two at the FBI, saying, without the FISA, without the sealed dossier, we wouldn't have gotten. Remember, the first time it went up, it was turned down. Okay? Remember that. All right. Logan, let's try to get. We're not going to be able to get to all the calls. There's no way, but we're going to try to get some of them.
We've been on the hold for a long time. Scott in Colorado on the air. Oh, he's gone. Sorry, Scott. You barely missed it. Joni? In Florida?
Johnny?
Okay, Johnny in Florida. Sorry about that. You're on the air.
Hey, Johnny.
Okay. Yes, I've heard everything you've been saying. It appears that most people involved are crooked or on the take. But what I want to know is, where are you going to get this counsel you've been talking about? How are you going to choose them?
Well, I don't choose them. That's not something that I would do. That's something that under the rules and regulations of the United States Department of Justice, the attorney general would have to determine, based on the information he gathered, that a special counsel was necessary. Then he would make the recommendation as to who that special counsel would be. That's the process upon which it works. And I think the process is important here. But I do think a special counsel is necessary for this. And if that, that's my view of this. I've said that since the Bruce Orr situation came out. It was just too much interplay between the agencies and the spouses and the way it all was being put together. And now based on this, I don't see how you avoid this. The FBI investigating itself. After they're so publicly saying we don't want this out. And, this is not to discredit Chris Wray. He's only been there. Chris has been in the job for what? Months. Less than 8 months. So, and he's made moves. He's gotten rid of people. But I don't think he'll be authorizing this FISA renewal. I wouldn't think. But anyways.
Do you think he's going to be in the FBI in the next week?
Yeah, I have no basis to see that he's going.
This
isn't under his watch.
This is not accusing him of wrongdoing or people that he should be covering for.
No, he's gotten. Look, the people that are named here are most. Some of them are still here, which is troubling. But not. Now you know why all of this.
You know why Rod Rosenstein didn't want it out. Why he was at John Kelly's office.
Yeah. You know why James Comey's sending out his tweets. You know why McCabe resigned.
Yep.
Probably why Chris
Rebicki,
Ray, you were
Chief of
gone.
Staff.
You know why Ray went to what we're hearing went to McCabe and said basically you're removed from the executive team.
24 hours before he was quit, he was like threatening to quit if he had to get rid of McCabe. He read this and then went to McCabe and said you're out.
We don't know that for a fact, but it's either that or the Inspector General report. I cannot even imagine what's in that.
That's where this comes from. Is hundreds of pages of documents. Than, explain that to me. I think it's important. This is not the end-all.
No.
This is just what the House Intelligence, Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, has come to know from their investigation, and there's an entire Inspector General's investigation ongoing right now as well that is, what people have heard, extremely complex and even more dangerous to these officials who have tried to keep their heads above water and act so pious.
Well, because that Inspector General, Jordan, is the one who recovered many of those missing texts between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page.
Hours.
And look, that goes to the whole Hillary Clinton investigation, which we haven't even touched on today. I mean, the abuse is so widespread. Let me just say this to underscore the point here. Fixing this requires someone outside the Bureau. Why does it require someone outside the Bureau? Because this document, these four pages, show us that it's so widespread that if you pick someone from inside the Bureau,
can't do it.
They're very likely involved.
You can't do it. No, you can't do it. I mean, if we have a special counsel for the Russia probe, how do you not have a special counsel for this? And folks, this was FISA warrants. That involves the court. And not telling the court where these documents came from, where the information, in other words, the evidence base upon which you obtained the warrant in the application, not notifying the court that this came from opposition research of a political party. By the way, you talk about political interference in a campaign by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This is, you know, everybody can tweet out whatever they want to tweet out. But let me tell you something. I want to see that. Now, by the way, I want to see. It's not out yet, I suspect. I want to see what the other side's determined narrative is going to be on this. All right, you want to try to grab another call, Logan?
Yeah, let's go to Julie on line six. You're on the air.
Hey, Julie, go ahead.
Hi. This all happened on President Obama's watch.
Right.
Where do you think he was during all of this? Do you think he was complicit? And should he be held accountable?
Remember this. Remember that right before they left office, about the time that all of this is going on, President Obama mysteriously, out of nowhere, after 7 years of service, almost 8 years of being in office, changes the distribution material to the intelligence committees on the sensitive information, and including unmasking of American citizens. 19 days before President Obama leaves office. All of this is going on at that point. So I don't know what he knows or doesn't know, but he signed that executive order, and that tells me a lot. All right, Logan, so what are we going to do here?
We'll keep discussing. We'll keep going at least for a few minutes as we discuss.
Okay.
We're going to keep going. So stay on hold if you're on hold.
Yeah.
We're going to continue the show at least for a couple minutes.
Yeah, and let me encourage you this, folks. There's going to be news breaking on this during the day. We may do updates. There'll be a lot going on here. I'm going to be on a Sean Hannity's radio broadcast. I may be going on his television broadcast also tonight, and we will keep – Jordan, you'll keep everybody updated on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. I'm sending out portions of it, links to the memo, and, of course, analysis that we've had. But I really encourage people to read the memo, and then, again, it doesn't take a long time, and realize – what we've pointed out, what the memo does by pointing out, is that literally the entire surveillance of an American citizen was based off information paid for by Hillary Clinton and Democrats to hurt Donald Trump and Donald Trump's campaign. And that was the entire basis. Don't
hurt
take
Americans.
My word for it. Andrew McCabe confirmed that no FISA warrant would have been sought. They wouldn't even look, tried to get it from the court without the Steele dossier information. So they had no other basis to spy on an American without a faulty, salacious dossier paid for by Hillary Clinton and Democrats.
All right, we'll be taking more calls and comments as we continue into the next segment of the show. You're not going to get that on radio. It's exclusively for those who are watching online. We need to go and fix some things for some re-airs. You can find us broadcasting live on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. ACLJ.org, if you're watching there, you're going to have to log over to social media. So make sure you go find us on Facebook, Periscope, or Twitter. Just search for Jay Sekulow, go to the Jay Sekulow page, and we'll be right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.